Hear now the scripture. Numbers chapter 12 and Numbers chapter 13. Numbers 12 beginning at verse number 1 and Numbers 13 verse number 33. Numbers chapter 12 verse 1. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and to Miriam, come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. When the Lord calls you out. Amen. That's a sermon right there. When the Lord calls you out. Then in chapter 13, verse 33. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which cometh of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers. So we were in their sight. Amen. I want to change it a little bit from what I preached this morning. 7:30 service. I want to talk about the danger of being sidetracked by mess. The danger of being sidetracked by mess. Moses is the one that God had called to deliver the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt. They had been enslaved for 400 years. They had been praying for deliverance for 400 years. And finally, God heard their prayer and called Moses. And Moses was minding his father-in-law's sheep, you know. And God sent him to Pharaoh to tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Finally, Pharaoh let the children of Israel go. And it took them 40 years to go a 40-day journey. And you remember a part of the story that after Pharaoh let them go, they would go across the Red Sea, and the Red Sea were in front of them, and Pharaoh's army were behind them. And Moses had a rod in his hand, and Moses stretched out the rod, and the Red Sea was open. And the children of Israel went across the Red Sea on dry land, but Pharaoh's army was drowned in the Red Sea. You remember that story. And then after they got across the Red Sea, they were in the wilderness. They were in the wilderness for 40 years, and they had no water to drink and no food to eat. And they prayed to God, and God delivered them, and the Lord gave them water out of a rock. You remember that? And manna from heaven. They ate manna. They ate manna every day. And for 40 years, they didn't have to go to Macy's at all. They had the same clothes, the same shoes. The Lord provided for them. And here they are, positioned to go across into the promised land. 40-year journey. They're almost there. How many of you know sometimes the only thing that can keep you going is a vision of the future? Things are not good for them. They're tired of eating the same thing. They're tired of the same clothes. They're out there in the middle of the wilderness. Their parents have died. They've buried their parents because of their unfaithfulness or their unbelief. And this new generation, they've heard the stories of a land flowing with milk and honey. Anybody know what I'm talking about? They had this crystal, this beautiful vision of the future. They've been in slavery, and they were going to a land full of milk and honey. A land where there was goats, and they would give goat milk. And a land where there was pomegranate, and there would be honey. And they were looking for this land. It took them 40 years. And here they are. on the periphery, on the edge of the promised land. They're so close, they could hear the music playing over across the river. They could smell the grapes. They were so close, they could see the lights. They could see, you know, all of the wonderful river and the streams. They could probably see, they probably, if there were any black people in the crowds, they could see, oh my God, candied yams. They're close. Look at somebody, close is not in the promised land. They're close. And of all the things that Moses had to worry about, how many of you know it's a difficult thing leading people? Moses had to worry about their food, and Moses had to worry about the water. Moses had to deal with the complaints. Moses had to deal with all of this stuff, and their position right there by the river. They are poised for victory. Moses kept lifting up the promise, you are going to make it to the promised land. And out of nowhere, Moses' sister, Miriam, starts complaining that Moses married an Ethiopian woman. Look at somebody and say, mess. What has that got to do with getting into the promised land? Who Moses decided to marry? What has that got to do with you getting over so that you can have milk and honey? What has that got to do with all the stuff you've been through that you're going to raise up this mess? Who Moses married? It ain't your business. Marry who you want to. You ain't got nothing to do with it. It's just mess. And a whole lot of times, mess can sidetrack you. Do I have a witness? And then not only is this mess, but look where the mess came from. It came from somebody close. It came from sister girl. It came from Aaron, somebody in leadership. He probably could have dealt with it all right if it was somebody way down the line. But it was somebody, look at somebody say, it's in the family. Marion starts talking about, and you know, a whole lot of mess starts in the family. It doesn't always start out there somewhere. A whole lot of mess. Some of the toughest mess I had to deal with were from cousin this and cousin that. They know just which buttons to push. Do I have a witness? They know just how to get at your Achilles heel. You got to be careful. You can't allow people up close to sidetrack you with mess. That's what happened here. Moses is worried about how I'm going to get all of these folk across the Jordan River and how we're going to get over there and how we're going to occupy the land. And here you come dragging in some mess at the last minute when we are positioned to cross the Jordan River. We are poised to take our victory. We are poised to move in the promises of God. We are poised to move so that God can show himself mighty and show himself strong. And here you come talking about who I'm married to. Mess. Don't allow anybody to get you off focus because of mess. Don't allow anybody to sidetrack you. You've had a conversation with God. God is talking to you. God is trying to get you to move forward. God is trying to get you to cross over to the other side. God has given you a new vision for your future. God is about to do something in your life. God is about to create victory in your life. God has got you positioned to make a change in your life. God has got you poised to do something mighty for him. And the only thing people can say is bring you some mess. Don't bring me no mess. So here she was. And I like the way God handled it. Every now and then you just got to call folk out. Every now and then you just got to call them out and say, that's just stupid. And God called out Miriam. And God, look, it's right there in the text. Read chapter 12, verse 1, 2, and 3. God called them out and said, Miriam and Aaron, I want you to come here with me. I want to have a little talk with you. Moses is my man. And if any correcting is going to be done, I'll do the correcting, Miriam. I know you think you his mother, you his sister. Just shut up. And I've got great work for Moses to do. He ain't got time to be dealing with your mess. He's about something much more important. I gave him an assignment 40 years ago. Look at somebody say, 40 years is a long time. And if you are determined to stay with the vision for 40 years, and here we are right at the Jordan River, right ready to cross the river, and you're going to bring some mess at the last minute. If you're going to bring this mess, you should have brought it before now. So Moses, God calls him out, and Moses and God gives his sister leprosy. You know, it's hard for a woman to deal with a skin problem. It's hard for a brother to deal with a skin problem. He gave Miriam leprosy. And all of a sudden, then Aaron started, oh, we've sinned. Oh, just take it away. God said, no, I'm going to let her have it for 7 days. She got to walk around as a leper. She got to be a testimony to her messiness. That ain't no word. That's a Jackson word. I do know that it's not, you know, it's messy. So, that's in, now keep this in mind. God is trying to fulfill his promise to the people, taking them 40 years to get where they are, and their position to go across the river to walk in their victory. And then Miriam and Aaron is trying to sidetrack Moses because of mess. And now here they are. Here's the second mess. You know, sometimes one mess ain't enough. They're right there at the edge of the promised land. And Moses says, I want to get you 12 men out of every tribe, one man from every tribe. I want you to go across into the promised land, go over there and check out the land. I want you to see if there's any grapes over there. See what kind of food. See if there really is some milk and honey. See if it really is the land that I've been talking about all of these years. You know, are there some nice houses over there? Is there a suburb? Is there a Hackensack over there in that promised land? Is there a suburb right outside of Jerusalem? You know, so there's nice houses that you never built. But, you know, can you go there? Is there great? How's the wine over there? Is it all right over there? What's going on? And then what about the people over there? Are they big? And what about the city? So he sends 12 people. And they all come back with one report. They all say, it really is a land flowing with milk and honey. I mean, it really is a good land. It really is a land that our ancestors talked about. It's a great land. There's some nice houses over there. There's some nice farms over there. There's some nice grapes over there. There's some nice rivers. There's some wells over there that we never did. It's a great land. Except there's one problem. There's some giants in the land. How many of us, we want the milk and the honey without dealing with the giants? Look at somebody and say, you can't have the milk and honey until you come by the giants. You got to deal with the giants. That's what's happening in our election today. You know, one of the things that bothers me as a black person, 61 years old, I just get tired of fighting for basic rights. I mean, I thought we were done fighting for basic rights. Here they are trying to keep us from voting in 2012. Here they are about voter registration, or what is it, depression, and putting us through all of these changes just to vote. I get sick and tired of it. Look at somebody and say, that's just a giant. It's just a giant trying to mess with your spirit. How many of you know if the giant can get to your spirit, then he's got to you. If he can get you sidetracked over here getting mad because you had to fight this battle. Yeah, you look at somebody and say, this is not the first giant you've had to face. We've been dealing with giants for a long time. Ever since we've been in this country, we've been dealing with giants. And don't you think you're going to stop dealing with giants. Don't let the giant sidetrack you. Don't let the giant take you off of focus. Don't let the giant get you so messed up in your spirit that you will stay home. How many know giants want you to stay home? Look at somebody and say, when we vote, we win. When we stay home, we lose. Here it is. These, Moses sent them over there. There were 12 of them. 10 came back with a negative report. The land is full of milk and honey. Got health insurance over in that land. Got good education. They got Pell Grants in that land. Social Security is for senior citizens in that land. Got great grandeur. It's a land of peace. They don't have a warmonger leader in that land. They have a negotiator. Got a lot of ambassadors in it. It's a great land. Everybody got a job in that land. Not only that, you can get 2-week vacation in that land. You have a little sick leave in that land. They got some labor unions over in that land that will fight for your rights over in that land. Oh, they got some. But don't you think you're going to get all of these things without dealing with a giant? You got to deal with some. They're not going to give you no health insurance. They're not going to give you no Social Security. They're not going to give you any labor unions to represent you. They're not going to give you a job just because you think you deserve a job. Look at somebody and say, you got to deal with the giants. You got to deal with the giants of apathy. You got to deal with the giants that come up in your life. I will not be sidetracked by negativity. Now look at the way it says. It says, we went over in the land. It's a great land. But there were some giants over there. And we felt like grasshoppers. Ain't nobody called them grasshoppers but themselves. The first giant you gotta face is the giant of low self-esteem. The first giant is to understand that all things are possible with God. The first thing you got to know is you can't make it by yourself. Let me see if I can make this plain, because when Martin Luther King was running around talking about equality, you know, he had to deal with the giant of J. Edgar Hoover. And, you know, as you find out stuff in history, J. Edgar Hoover talking about Martin Luther King's sexuality. What a joke. What a joke. And it looked like there was no way we were going to have equal rights. Looked like, what about Rosa Parks? This little black woman who decided enough is enough. I ain't getting up out of my seat no more. Do what you got to do, but I shall not be moved. You do the best you can and leave the rest to God. God knows how to bring giants down. He's in the business of taming giants. Do I have a witness in the house? You just trust God. You get your little rusty dusty up. You go to the polls. You vote. You face the giant with God at your back. Here we are. 10, who says it's too much? 2, who says we can do this? First thing is, if you're going to deal with giants, you got to know who you are, whose you are, and where your power comes from. Who are you? And you can't let the giant define you. Giant gonna say you just a little Negro. I'm being kind. Giant gonna say you are nobody. Giant gonna say you a 47%er. Giant's gonna say you a freeloader. Giant's gonna say, you are lazy. You don't want to work anyhow. That's what the giants define you. But when God defines you, he says, you were created in my image. You are somebody. You got gifts. You got promise. You are my child. I died for you. I died for you to have a second chance. So you and I have got to know I'm a child of the king. I'm not a child of the puppets. You get to know who you are. And then you got to know whose you are. I belong to Christ. I'm black and I'm proud, but I belong to Christ. I'm glad about the struggles of my ancestors and how we made it through, but I belong to Christ. I've been bought with a price. He died on the cross for me. His blood washes me. I'm a sinner, but I've been saved by grace. He is my elder brother. He is my all. He is my all and my all. I am who he says I am, and I can do what he says I can do, and there's nothing you can do about it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, if you're going to fight giants, you got to know who you are. You got to know whose you are. And then you got to know where your power comes from. It's good to have an education, but that's not enough power. How many know the devil got a whole lot of smart folk? You need to know where your power comes from. My help. Comes from the hills. All of my strength comes from the hills. When I'm down, my help comes from the Lord. The Lord, strong and mighty. He is my help. He is my deliverer. He is my all. He is my all and my all. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes, all of us can get a little sidetracked. Do I have a witness? Sometimes the devil can dress stuff up so it'll make an angel get sidetracked. But it's one thing to be sidetracked for a season. It's another thing to stay sidetracked. That's why you come make yourself into the church every now and then, so you can have a little talk with Jesus. That's why you need to get yourself a mentor, because you need somebody who's been where you're already going. Somebody that has a right to talk into your heart, to your heart and your mind. You need somebody to say, I know the Lord will make a way somehow. You need somebody to say, there is a bright side somewhere. You need somebody to pray, give this fool a spirit of discernment. Because they're thinking not so bright right now. Anybody know that church folk can think out of whack too? How many of you know that sometimes church folk can start mess too? I really haven't forgotten my subject. I do know what I'm talking about. The danger of being sidetracked by mess. Here you are singing to the glory of God, and you worried about what color blouse you going to wear. Look at somebody say, mess. Here you are. We're trying to provide food for the hungry in Bergen County. And here you are worried about somebody's wig. Look at somebody saying, mess. And if I want to wear a wig, it's my wig. I bought it. It ain't nobody's business. If I do, mind your business, because that's just purity mess. And you're trying to sidetrack me. I'm trying to do something good for the kingdom, trying to feed the hungry, trying to clothe the naked, trying to lead prayer. You worried about I hadn't had a haircut. Just mess. You are in the Miriam Club. And every now and then, Jesus is going to call you out. You in the mess business. I'm calling you out. You in the mess business. And you need to mind your own business and get yourself straight, because you're trying to sidetrack somebody who's trying to do something good. How many of you know most of us don't have enough religion to deal with mess two times? We might be able to deal with mess one time, all right. But Moses had to deal with mess two times. At least two times. He had to deal with Miriam's mess. Then he had to deal with the other 10 folks' mess. And if you read chapter 14, there they are, about to cross over into the promised land. And the 10 said, we can't go over. And the people stopped. They could see, they could smell the grapes. They could see the promised land. They could hear the jazz music. This ain't in the Bible now, this is me. They could hear the music across on the other side. And the 10 said, we are like grasshoppers. Then they also said, we are like grasshoppers, and we believe that they see us as grasshoppers. You don't know how they see you, fool. All you know is how you see yourself. And the people stopped. They could have crossed. They believed the negative report. They could have had the blessing, but they stopped still. They could have had the PhD, but they listened to mess. They could have finished college, but they listened to mess. They could have saved the relationship, but they listened to mess. And they stopped. And here they are. So close, and yet so far away. What are you close to? You're almost there. You're almost, you got 3 years and 6 months into college. And you started listening to somebody's mess. Baby, you know you're the best. You're so close. Look at somebody and say, I can do this. Yeah. I can do this. Yeah. Look at somebody else and say it like you really mean, I can do this. I can't do it by myself, but with God's help, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do this. And I will no longer be sidetracked. I'm going to get up. I'm going to finish. A few weeks ago, we had a preacher that preached, just finish. Just finish. For God's sake, finish something. At least finish dinner. Sitting down at the table, and you're so busy, you ain't got time to eat the macaroni and cheese. Sit down. Finish! The danger of being sidetracked. Yes. Don't let negative people get you off focus. See the promise. Have the vision. I can see clearly now that the rain is gone. Yeah. And the negative friends are gone. I can see clearer now. Oh, I'm crossing the Jordan River. I'm going into my promise. Oh, the Lord promised me a victory, and I'm not going to let anybody turn me. I'm not going to let anybody turn me around. I come too far from where I started from to turn around. I've cried too much. I've struggled too much. I've been through too much. I'm going to let nobody turn me around. I'm going all the way with the Master. All the way with the Master. I'm going all the way. Gonna be me and Mrs. Williams. Me and Mrs. Williams. What a time! What a time! What a time when all of God's children get together. What a time. And now I'm gonna tell you something. I love Mrs. Williams. But I sure would like to have some young people there too. I'd love to have somebody else there too. It's too much for just the both of us. We need to have some company in heaven. Do I have a witness up there? I hope you'll make it, Barbara. Would you go with me? It's wonderful, but I need a few more witnesses somewhere. Kayla, you going too? Oh, I'm going all the way with the master. All the way. I refuse to sit down on the wrong side of the river when I can see heaven in my view.